So we're so thankful for y'all to join in with us this morning and worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as Angel always asks us to do, the easiest way you can share your faith is to take out your phones and go to our Facebook page and share the live feed. And so I would have to say that Angel has kept us in our comfort zone for the last couple of months. I'm afraid one of these days he's going to get up here and challenge us a little bit more. It won't be so easy just to take out your phone. That ain't how it's going to always be. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Go ahead and turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we go ahead and start with the slides. So as I was thinking about our mission statement, we had a meeting where kind of posed me to really start thinking about our mission statement of seek, send, and save. And I'm very practical. I say, okay, we have to start with step one first. Seek. Well, where do we seek people? Where do we meet our friends? Where are all the places that we can possibly go to invite people into our lives, to share life with one another? Church, and then we have the great city of Atlanta. So many different opportunities to meet our friends. But when you think about some unassuming places where we can meet people, a well? Not quite the usual thing in 2017, huh? To meet our friends at a well. But we're going to talk about a relationship that developed at a well today. And in speaking about relationships, the most important relationship that we must consider, that we have to consider, is our relationship with God. Amen. Amen. So what we want to do is set the foundation for what that really is. And it's not going to take very long. It's either right or it's wrong. Either you are in the right relationship with God, or you're not. There is no in between. You are either with Christ or you're not. You're either on God's team or you're on Satan's team. So as we go through this, I will refer to not being in the right relationship with God. And so what you have to do is challenge yourself, go within yourself and say, hey, where am I really at with God? Because the only thing Jesus wants you to do is to be in the right relationship with the Father. So we can go to the next slide there. When we look at John chapter 4, this is an amazing chapter, especially when you contrast it to what just happened in John chapter 3. If you look at who Jesus is talking to in John chapter 3, it is totally different than who he speaks to in chapter 4. In chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, who is a ruling Pharisee, well-learned man, knows the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And Jesus is able to meet him where he needed to be met. He's able to have conversation with him. And then you see here in chapter 4 where he meets the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman is a lady that has a checkered past. She's a lady that will alter her schedule to avoid scrutiny. So in the ancient times, when you used to go get water, you used to either go get it very early in the morning or very late at night, to avoid the heat issue and the temperature issue. And there's also a well in the town where the Samaritan woman lived. She decided to go almost a half a mile or a mile outside of town at noon to get water, to avoid the scrutiny of the other women in town. The women did not want her around. So you can take that someplace else. We do not condone your behavior. So when you look at the background of Jews and Samaritans, we've talked a lot about that. A lot of us kind of know what that relationship is. For those of us that don't, the Jews just downright didn't like the Samaritans. They hated them. And it goes back to more of a historical issue of the Assyrian army, you know, moving into that land, and they were pagans, and they brought their paganistic activity and their idol worship into the northern Israel. And so they were a mixed breed, the Samaritans were. The Jews did not like that. So there's a lot of hatred there. They did not associate it with one another. Men did not speak to women. If you're walking down the street as a man and a woman, you don't talk to them. It is against the social norm. It is against the society's standard for a man to talk to a woman, for a Jew to talk to a Samaritan. And then Jesus, we know Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Those dudes definitely didn't talk to anybody of lower standard. That's just not how they wrote. That's just not what their culture was. So when we look at Jesus, he's doing something different. In John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 4. He had to go, he, Jesus, go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus asked to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" So if you look at this whole story, and I would encourage you to do that. We don't have time here today to read through every last verse. So I'd encourage you to look at John chapter 4, verses 1 through really 42, and really study that out over the next several weeks. But if you look at the interaction, this was a one-on-one conversation that Jesus was having with an individual. In the scriptures, this is the longest account that he speaks to one person. The longest account of all people Jesus could have spoke to. We just talk about Nicodemus, the big dog in the religious world at that time. You figure, Jesus, man, I'm going to roll with who I roll with. That's my man. You know, that's who, I'm up there with him. Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman for the longest time recorded in Scripture. Imagine what must be going through her mind. She's like, "Look here, man, I'm just trying to get me some water for the day. I'm not trying to be bothered. I didn't walk half a mile out the way just to get some water. Please leave me alone. I just want water." And for those of us that have studied the Bible, that had somebody reach out to us, and be honest, what was going through your mind when that person first initiated with you? You're like, "Man, I don't want to be bothered with this mess, man. Come on, I got stuff going on. I'm trying to earn money. I'm trying to get girls. I'm trying to be the big man on the campus," whatever the case may be. "I'm trying to play ball." You didn't want to be bothered. I know I didn't want to be bothered. And so think about what's going through her mind. And then Jesus comes along. Jesus radically changes the social norm. He challenges it. He goes against the society's standards. So when we look at the characteristics that Jesus displayed, the characteristics that he showed this woman to reach out to her, this is how Jesus will love us. Amen. Now you may think, no. I know how Jesus is going to come to me. I'm going to dictate this show. No, you're not. The scripture says this is how Jesus will come to us. So characteristic number one, Jesus initiated. Initiation. Jesus was tired from the walk. Brothers and sisters, we've all been there. It's been a long week. We do not feel like going out of our way and calling nobody, texting nobody, especially meet with nobody in this doggone traffic. But Jesus initiated the conversation by simply saying, "Can I have a drink of water?" He used simple things, a personal confession of, hey, I need some help. Now, we know Jesus. Jesus, he knew what the deal was. He knew where he was going with this. But he was tired. He's like, you know what? But I have to share the gospel. And if you think about Mike's message last week, Mike talked about while we wait to leave this foreign land to go home, what are we going to do? How can we be like Jesus while we wait? Brothers and sisters, we need to initiate. Amen. We got to be the fire starters. Amen. That's the only way it's going to the gospel is going to get spread.
That's right.
Amen. God initiated with us. So if we are to be in the image of God, then we need to initiate with other people.
Amen.
It was so simple. Come on, this is Jesus. This is the Son of Man. If Jesus wanted water, the man could have snapped his finger and had some Perrier water. I know I'm going to get some slack for using Perrier, but it was a purpose. We're talking about Jesus now. Jesus ain't drinking tap. No, no. Characteristic number two, Jesus displayed boldness and courage. Spoke to a woman, spoke to a Samaritan woman, spoke to a Samaritan woman with a checkered past. Man, he was going places nobody were allowed to go. And then he went even deeper. He started talking spiritual matters with her. Now, this woman, she was religious. You know, the Samaritans, they had their little religious thing going. But Jesus went deep. He did not spare the conversation that needed to happen. He knew the best thing for this woman was to have that amazing deep conversation and get to the heart of the matter. Regardless of how challenging it may have been. And, you know, when we think about loving somebody. We love to throw that around. Oh, I love you. I love you. What does it really mean to love somebody? You know what it means? It means to do what's spiritually best for them, regardless of the consequences. We love somebody when we do what's spiritually best for them, regardless of the consequences. So Jesus goes on to offer the woman living water, and they have their back and forth. She's not quite understanding what Jesus is talking about. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. Jesus tells the woman, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." Characteristic number three, Jesus don't shy away. He does not shy away from the taboo, emotional, difficult conversation. He goes right to the heart of the matter. He's the Son of Man. He saw straight through all the religious facade that she was trying to put on. I mean, Jesus even said, you know, having five husbands in the past, the man in your house right now you're living with is not your husband. And that's a sin. He did not shy away. He made her aware of the relational desert that she was in. That's the cross that she was needed to bear. And he went there without hesitation. But, you know, Jesus did not belittle the woman. He did not look down on her. When you read through the passage, you clearly see that he has compassion. He has gentleness for her. And that is the greatest characteristic that Jesus displays when he comes to us, is love. Agape love. That unconditional, unsacrificial, deliberate sort of love. You know what? No matter what we may be dealing with, whether it's in the past, in the present, Jesus still got on the cross and died for our sins.
Amen.
So that we could have peace with the Father. And that is, I mean, he made that deliberate. He wrestled with it, but it was deliberate. Can we make a deliberate decision like that? So my first point that I really want us to take home is when Jesus calls, when he calls to us, there will be initiation. He will display boldness and courage. He will not shy away from the difficult conversation that needs to be had. But he does it with compassion and gentleness, and he did it at the well. So for those of us that are studying the Bible, for those of us that are having people trying to reach out to us and spend time to us, this is how it's going to happen. You may be prideful and you may say, no, this is not the way I want it to happen. I want to be in a big group. I want to sit in the classroom. I just want to do it the way I want to do it. No. The scripture says different. Yeah. Amen. This is how God is going to come to us. He is going to use his children to bring his message, to bring the amazing love of Jesus. No matter who you are, what you have or have not done, where you are, where you haven't been, the love of God is amazing. Amen. Especially for those that are not in the right relationship with Jesus.
That's right.
Because God wants that relationship. He yearns to be with those people. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God wants everyone to be saved and to understand truth. So, how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? Well, I'll tell you how I responded. Man, so Chris and Allison Stowers reached out to Tasha and myself, and we're going to even go back longer than that. In 1997, Chris Stowers reached out to me when I was a freshman at Florida State University. And I said, okay, seems a little different. I grew up religious. And he said, come on, let's go study the Bible. At that point, I was already intimidated because I didn't know what was in the Bible. I believed in God. I loved Jesus, right? But I didn't know what was in the scripture. So I already felt uncomfortable. But I pretty much told Chris, yeah, y'all, just too much Jesus for me. I can't do all this. I tried a couple Bible studies, but eventually I put up the Heisman on him. I knew what was right. I knew that I was good. I believed what my mom and daddy told me. That was 16 years, circle back around. I moved back into Tallahassee, joined Chris Stowers' group, said, you know I'm leading the church now. Oh, here we go again. He reaches out. He initiates. Me and Tasha are like, man. And I tell her kind of the background of Chris. This dude right here, man, he love, he's spiritual, man. He's holy roly. What am I going to do, though? He my senior partner. I got to go and see what he's talking about. I got to go to his church. Man, we played so hard of a Heisman game on Chris and Allison. We ran. We evaded. We were elusive. It must have been like, to him and Chris, and I mean him and Allison, like having soap, and you're just kind of squeezing it, and it's just popping all over the place. We just ran hard. But these people loved us. They kept coming back. They kept bringing us to dinner. We were passing up free food. They wanted to take us out to dinner. And it was the love that they showed us. They wanted to find out about our lives. So if you look at how Tasha and I handled that situation, we want no part of it. Absolutely no part. And it's no different than the Samaritan woman. If you look at verse 9, she's still holding on to the traditions and the laws that were in that community. No, 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 you're a Jew. You're a man. You're not supposed to talk to me. Mm-mm, I don't want nothing with that. Jesus even tries to prompt her curiosity, you know, talking about living water, and she just doesn't get it. She doesn't understand it. But what she does understand, she's like, hey, if you can figure out a way so I don't have to keep going back and forth to get this water, now I want that. Now, that I want. And then we turn into this consumer attitude. She's like, whatever you can do for me, I want to listen to that. It may not be the best thing for me spiritually, but if it helps me and if I like it, then I'm going to roll with that. And that's the consumer mentality that I know I have displayed. I know that the brothers and sisters that have made Jesus Lord have displayed in their life, and there's some of us sitting in this room right now that display that attitude. So the question that we have to ask is, what are we going to do? The woman displays elusiveness. Jesus tries to go at her with the whole relational thing, the man sleeping in her home or living with her. She does kind of acknowledge a little bit. She said, oh, sir, you're a prophet. Boy, but then she evades. Boom, she starts talking about worshiping on the mountain. How can you avoid that conversation? There's really no way to duck and dodge that, but she does. I did. You do it. I've been in studies with guys. This is a little bit off. I just have to say it. I've been in studies with guys, especially with Maldonado. Maldonado is great about going there. I just see guys just kind of like sidestepping like the bull do. And I'm like, dude, how do you not respond to that? We got to talk about that issue if we're going to make progress. And then finally, the woman's bold. She just shut Jesus down. In verse 25, she says, when the Messiah comes, he'll explain everything to us. All right, let's just keep it moving here. All right, you don't got to talk to me no more. She shut Jesus down. And I know many of us that have tried to reach out, we've been shut down before. Please don't get discouraged. Keep fighting. Amen. And on the other side, we've shut down people. We've shut folks down, playing hard to get. And we're just trying to show love. So the question that I have for you, where do our hearts need to be before God? Where do we have to be? I want to give you a scripture. I want you to take it home over the week. Look at it, study it, meditate on it. It comes from Psalm 51. This is how David felt after the prophet Nathan convicted him on his wrongdoing with Bathsheba. In verse 17, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. So are you broken before God? Or do you have everything figured out? Because you got to be broken. You have to be in that mode of surrender before God can really work with you. Amen. I heard a story when I was on vacation with my family. Tasha and I were doing a little wine tasting, and the bartender was talking about how to make different alcoholic beverages, just the basic ones, vodka, gin. So he was talking about the story of how gin was made. And there's a precise formula, a precise percentage of the ingredients to make gin. It's a mixture of ethanol and methanol. And so if you have the correct percentage, mix them together, you get gin. Beverage that's been around for many of years. Well, there were some guys that decided to say, we're going to try to cut some corners. We're going to try to save some money. We're going to come up with our own formula. And so they decided to try to put what they thought was best, percentage of ethanol, percentage of methanol. And so if you don't get the percentages right, what you end up doing is making poison. Tastes like gin, but it'll kill you. So these dudes went full at it, made their batch, they drunk it. Tastes like gin, but they died. So we cannot do it Jesus' way if we want to, and we can walk around and think that we are disciples, think that we are Christians. It may taste right, but it's going to lead to spiritual death. And I know many of us have seen that happen in this room. But when you look at Jesus, when he comes with his agape love, that unconditional love, The woman at the well, she finally saw what she needed to see. And she developed that broken spirit. We'll pick it up in verse 27. Then Jesus came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Boy, how stunned she must have been when Jesus announced that he was the man. It took the arrival of the disciples to confirm his identity. It gave her time to process the truth. Boy, but when she got it, she believed. She developed that broken spirit. She was convicted. She had conviction. And then she ran off to start on the mission. The woman left her water jar. That's the very thing that she made that mile track to do. And those were heavy draws. It's not like she's just bringing a little pitcher. This is what the people bathed with and cooked with and cleaned with. So it was heavy. It was heavy on the way there. It's twice as heavy on the way back. Well, I tell you, we got some comedians on this front row, boy. They are some comedians, boy. So she left it. And when you look at that heart, you know, the slide that I have up here, you know, the scale is at the bottom, hard to see, but I scaled it out. That's a mile. That is a mile. Man, in that hot weather at noon, that is no joke. You're not leaving that behind. You're not leaving that behind. That's like us going across town to get our favorite ribs. So I like Fat Mac's ribs down in North Druid Hills. And I stay all the way up in East Cobb. And, man, when we go down there and get Fat Mac's, I'm like, it's on, man. It's rolling. I'm getting ready to get down. But if they leave my ribs, they don't put the ribs in the bag, and we halfway up 75, I'm turning back around and getting my ribs. That's too long of a ride to leave ribs behind. Or Mr. Stan's ribs. If Mr. Stan don't put the ribs in there and I got to go back, I'm coming back to get my ribs. So when you look at, man, my ribs, man, you know. So, point number two, what is it that we won't leave at the well? The woman left that water jar. She knew what time it was. Very important to her, but she left it. So, you know, somebody taught me an analogy about, you know, being in the right relationship with God using an airplane model. So we all know that back in the day, we used to be able to, you know, check our bags without any cost whatsoever. And man, you'd be like, you know what? I'm going to check all these bags here because I am not carrying all this stuff on that plane. And so you used to check it because it was free. Nowadays, they charge you an arm and a leg and you ain't carrying all them bags. And so you got to say, now, which one of these is I'm going to bring? Or which, but, you know, we still try to bring everything on the plane. We want to try to bring everything on the plane. Like, now, you know you can't bring five bags on the plane no more. It's probably illegal. Boy, but we try to do it. And so we can try to do that with God as well. When God invites us on Jesus's plane, he says, you don't need all that stuff. Leave all that stuff behind. The only thing that you really need is this here. This is all you need, Jesus tells you. But we want to bring everything with us. What do we need to leave at the well? Could it be pride? It's that big bag. There you go, Sean. Come on, girl. Or maybe it can be lust. But we see all these things up here. What about sharing your biblical convictions with your significant other, with your wife, with our fiancés? An unforgiving heart, an ungrateful heart. Figure out what it is you need to leave at the well. This woman, she didn't stroll back to the town. She ran back. It was a mile. It was hot. But she was getting it. So when you look at just the physical part of it, the physical part, yes, she was running away from Jesus. Jesus was still at the well. Spiritually, she was actually running toward Jesus, running toward a deeper, intimate, personal relationship with him. She was going to share him with her neighborhood. She was going to make an impact in Sychar. So here's our activity for the morning. Our activity for the morning. I want you to write down or put in your phone the following things. And I'm going to kind of divide us up in different groups to help us think about this a little bit better. So older disciples. So that's disciples who've been around for 3 or more years. I want you to write down, relatively speaking, work with me, guys, okay. Write down what you had to leave at the well. When you studied the Bible, you made your decision to make Jesus Lord, you were of age where you can understand what's going on. You wasn't a child. You counted the cost. You sat down with somebody that walked you through the scripture. You were baptized, and you've been living out the life of Jesus based on the Bible. Amen. Write down what you had to leave at the well. That will help 2 points. One, help you remember what you used to be like. And share that with somebody that you may try to help down the road or currently. We're still on the older disciples. Ray gave us an amazing message looking at Matthew, looking at the Beatitudes that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. The very first one is to be poor in spirit. This walk with Jesus is not, well, let me get broken one time, let me do right, get in the water, and then I'm going to get out and I'm good to roll. No, you got to be poor in spirit continuously. You have to always know that you are broken. That you need what God has for you constantly. Therefore, older disciples, write down what you need to leave at the well currently. Young disciples, 2 years and under, what did you tell people that you were recently studying the Bible with that you would leave at the well? And have you left it there? Have you really lived up to your word? Non-disciples, people that have not yet made the decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. You have not yet surrendered fully to God. You still want to do it your way. You still think everything's okay. What's holding you back from making that decision? What is it that you need to leave at the well like today? Because we are not promised tomorrow. That's right. That's right. So what is it that you are holding on to? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm living experience. Whatever it is, God knows that he will use that thing or situation to make you listen to him, to get your full attention. For me, what I left was lust and profanity. What God had to really get my attention was my attainment of prestige and status in my job. He made me hear that. He used that. A lot of pain and suffering that went along in that situation. But God used it for me to leave it at the well. So at the well, Jesus will call us. Whatever your well may be, we saw different places of where we can meet people. We've met people all different places, in our neighborhoods, at the coffee shop, here at church, on campus, at our jobs. Whatever your well is, Jesus will meet you. He will initiate. It will be bold. It won't feel good. It's going to be uncomfortable. Remember, the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. You're going to bleed, but it's okay. He will ask us to leave something at the well. It's coming. You can't take all your baggage. It just doesn't work. You got to leave something behind. It may be multiple things. So which bag do you need to leave? God loves us so much. He just wants to make sure that we are in the right relationship with Him. And the beautiful thing about it is, He's already set us up for it. He's already done it. It's not very challenging. It just requires a broken spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we are just so amazingly thankful, God, to come here today. Father, to talk about You, to read Your Word, to learn about You and Your Son, the Holy Spirit, Father. God, the word that You have given us is You will meet us where we are. You will meet us at that well, whatever that proverbial well may be. We know that You are coming, God. Father, I pray that people will surrender to You. Father, I pray that there will be submission, Father, that we won't think that it should happen the way that we think it should happen or the way that we want it to happen, Father, but we will know that what You bring us is grace. A grace that goes beyond any human thinking. Father, Your love surpasses human knowledge. You can do more than we can ask or imagine in a snap of a finger like that. So, Father, let us understand that. Let us, Father, reflect on Your Son, Jesus, at the foot of the cross. Father, His blood was spilt. He was spit on. He was kicked. He was mocked. But God, the victory was still His. Victory is ours too, God, if we submit to You. So, Father, I pray for surrender today. God, that's all I want. I want us to just know that we need to be broken before You because that's what You require because You loved us so much. In Your holy Son's name I pray. Amen.